ship. There are, if I may make a suggestion, sir?
Please, because I got nothing right now.
If we want to know how to knock out the defenses around a Maxulk's planet, we should ask the experts. Talk to the spiders.
Reed froze, staring at me as she stepped out the door of her cabin. In one hand, she held a coffee mug, on top of which was a half-eaten piece of toast.
Busted, she exclaimed under her breath.
I had absolutely no idea what she was talking about. It was early, just after 0500. My stupid brain had announced, hey, I'm wide awake, so I rolled out of bed and was going to the galley for coffee before hitting the gym. Reed was wearing the uniform of the day. She wasn't dressed for the gym, and I knew for the duty roster that she didn't need to be on the bridge. Had she gotten up early to get time in a flight simulator? No, she wasn't wearing a flight suit. Busted? I asked. She lifted the toast off the coffee mug.
The toast.
The other day, Skippy was all excited about an article he read in a physics journal. He used words like stochastic and polymorphic, and he even tried to show me the math, which he should have known was never going to work. That made more sense to me than whatever you're trying to tell me about toast.
Sir, I made it.
I did assume you hadn't found a loaf of pre-toasted bread.
I meant...
She looked back over her shoulder into her cabin.
I have a toaster.
In your cabin?
I know it's against regulations.
That's genius.
It's just, the toaster we had before the refit was crap.
I seem to remember you blasted it with a maser cannon.
The new toaster. You've seen it?
Yeah, what's up with that thing? In the galley was a shiny box made of titanium and chrome, and probably some kind of exotic matter. The thing was the size of a dishwasher, and while I had seen people screwing around with it, I hadn't seen it produce any toast.
It's a military-grade toaster, sir, courtesy of the United Nations Navy Procurement Service. It can take 15 Gs of acceleration, survive hard radiation, and operate in temperatures from negative 70 Celsius to 60 above.
If it's that cold or hot in the galley, I won't be thinking about toast. Also, radioactive toast doesn't sound like part of a balanced diet.
What the thing doesn't do is make decent toast. Half the time the bread gets stuck, and when a slice does go all the way through, one side is burnt and the other is cold. That machine is impressive engineering. It sucks as a toaster, so I brought my own toaster from home.
She gestured inside her cabin and stepped back. You have a coffee maker also? She shrugged.
It saves time in the mornings.
You could request Skippy to send a bot with coffee.
That would require me to talk with Skippy in the morning before I have coffee.
Ah, good point. We both looked at the ceiling, expecting the beer can's avatar to appear. He was either busy or wisely chose not to get involved. He got involved anyway. Hey, Skippy, I called a few minutes later. I have a question for you. If you want me to explain the math again, you can forget about no math needed. The new toaster in the galley. That is an impressive piece of technology. Impressive, he snorted. Joe, it was made by monkeys bashing coconuts together.
Hypothetically, if that thing suffered a serious malfunction, could you fix it?
No can do. The Navy doesn't own a right to repair license from the manufacturer. No one aboard the ship is authorized to screw with it, and that includes me. Bunch of jerks.
Wow, that is truly unfortunate. So again, speaking hypothetically, if the thing broke and we had to store it in a cargo bay until we got back to Earth, we...
The manufacturer also has a certified service station at Jaguar.
That is good to know. If we had to take it out of service, could you fabricate a temporary replacement? One that makes toast the way Reed likes?
Dude, please, could I do that?
I mean, the fabricator is warming up now. Joe, there is one problem. That monstrosity of a toaster is currently not broken.
That is true.
Hey, on a totally unrelated subject, the coffee tasted kinda extra bitter yesterday.
No one else has mentioned the big coffee pot should be switched out and scrubbed again before the galley is scheduled to open for breakfast this morning, but I want the bot that handles the job to be extra careful. It would be awful if a bot carrying a big metal pot of hot coffee were to stumble and dump that coffee on our fancy toaster. If yous know what I mean.
Oh!
Bots don't actually stumble, so you seem to think I care about details, and I do not.
Gotcha.
Sadly, a maintenance bot suffered a glitch in the galley and spilled half a pot of hot coffee into the expensive high-tech toaster, which then had to be taken out of service. There would, of course, need to be an investigation into the loss of UN Navy valuable property. Unfortunately, sensors in the galley went offline around the time the bot glitched, so the incident would have to remain a mystery. As Task Force Commander, I would sign off on the property loss form when I had time to do that, like after we took care of the threat from the outsider. Or never. Never works for me. By 0800, Reed and I were enjoying perfect toast from our new galley toaster during our breakfast meeting. Sir? She glanced toward the new, totally normal and functional toaster.
Do I want to know how this happened?
Well, if you have to ask that question.
Right.
She wrinkled her nose.
Before I got this job, I thought captains had to be aware of everything that happens aboard their ship. Since then, I have learned that for the ship to actually function, there are things I shouldn't know about.
I agreed. Like where the engineering people make moonshine?
Like that.
She cocked her head.
I think they're making bourbon now.
Bourbon? That surprised me. She shrugged.
The ship has been in service long enough to allow alcohol to age. I assume they're making bourbon. I found a requisition for oak barrels a few years ago.
That is not suspicious at all.
The requisition went through Skippy's supply company.
Again, I do not see anything suspicious there.
All I know is, she added strawberry jam to her toast, I won't have to deal with toast crumbs in my cabin anymore.
Jates stomped into Dave's office, footsteps even heavier than if the Verd had been wearing powered armor.
I need to report a murder.
What? Dave looked up from the laptop.
Who?
Point it. The murder hasn't happened yet, but it will soon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Dave relaxed just a bit.
I do. If it helps, the guy is even more a pain in the ass to me than he is to you.
I doubt that. This was your idea. You need to fix it.
I know. The problem is he sent video samples out on the last courier ship. I watched the video. It makes us look good. It makes you look good. The hamsters are going to love you.
My life is now complete.
This is important. It actually is, Dave insisted. The Ruhar don't have a positive opinion of your people right now.
I feel just terrible about that.
Hey, you Verdkris can use every friend you can find. My people sure as hell can't be relied on in the long term.
I heard that, Jates muttered. He pretends to admire me and my team. Do you know what he calls us behind my back?
He says the Verdkris are pets, I know. Circus animals who have been trained to do tricks.
Could you resist strangling him?
I'm already resisting that urge. Behind my back, he says humans are primitive savages who got lucky.
So, he's not wrong about everything.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
You hate him also, Jates nodded. I'll make it look like an accident.
Do not do anything with my approval. Got it? Listen, Poindit is only here for another 3 days. The transport ship is leaving and he needs to be aboard before it jumps away, or he will be stuck on this rock for another 5 weeks.
Then I am taking 3 days of leave, effective immediately.
You could do that.
Dave leaned his chair back and put his feet on the desk, mindful that if he leaned back too far, he would smack his head on the inside of the narrow shipping container.
But you know a video crew has been following Poindit for the past week. It was his idea. They've been documenting how he implements his artistic vision. I know, hearing that made me want to barf. He's been requesting to do all kinds of shit, like use an infantry mech suit or dive from orbit, anything to show he's a man of action. M shot down all his requests, so now he's working with the Ruhar. He should leave you alone. If he doesn't, I'll explain you're unavailable due to some vital assignment.
Is that a promise?
Hell yes. I regret I ever got us into that mess.
See that you keep that promise. Jates turned to go. Or there will be punching.
The Tershapan Array was not, as I had assumed, near a star system of that name. It wasn't close to a star at all. The closest astronomical body larger than a rock was a red dwarf star 16 light-years away. For that exochronous type of antenna to work, it had to be distant from any source of photons and from any significant gravity that could wrap the fabric of spacetime in the local area. That was one reason the first array had been abandoned,
A wandering rogue planet would pass within 40 light hours of the array within 6 centuries of the rogue's discovery, and while the spiders had considered an effort to slowly nudge the planet into changing its course, they decided it would be less expensive overall to just construct a new, better array. So I learned that Tershapan was the name of the spider who had led the research team that developed the technology to detect whatever quantum vibration nonsense thing the Rindaloo wanted to study. We jumped in a light hour from the array's last reported position, and Bilby groaned a few seconds later.
Hey, General Dude, this isn't looking good. The array was shut down cold, but the spiders left a beacon so the thing doesn't become a navigation hazard. I should be picking up the beep, beep, beeping of the beacon, but I don't hear nothing. You feel me?
Yeah. What about passive sensors?
Well, we're like too far away to detect anything that isn't actively radiating. The array had been shut down long enough that its components should be the temperature of the interstellar background. We need to get closer.
Skippy, do you have any objection to jumping in closer?
I don't see the point, he sighed. Do whatever you want.
The problem could simply be a dead beacon.
All 3 beacons are offline? I don't think so.
Well, there's one way to find out. Read, set, sir. She interrupted me, which rarely happened. The outsider has to know someone would notice the Calabaric array stopped transmitting. It might have anticipated we would come here to check on the original array.
You thinking the outsider might be waiting here for us?
It's more likely it saturated the area with stealth mines. Either way, I would prefer to send in a squadron of drones to recon with active sensors.
That is a sensible precaution. I winced because I should have thought of being careful. Do it.
We jumped in 10 light minutes from Skippy's best guess of where the array should be, launched 4 high-speed drones, and jumped away. The drones accelerated hard and began pinging away with active sensor pulses, searching for the array and for any stealth mines. 7 hours later, we had a definitive answer. Nothing was there. The array was gone. The good news was the outsider hadn't planted any nasty surprises for us, but we soon realized that good news was for a bad reason. Skippy delivered an Oscar-worthy dramatic sigh.
This sucks,
he groaned, half an hour after we had jumped into the center of where the array should be. The array's component antennas were no longer there, but space was not entirely empty. Apparently, when the array was taken away, the outsider had left some pieces behind. The central processor, which includes the data collection and transmission gear, had apparently been scavenged for useful parts, then discarded. The bulky protective shells that enveloped each antenna had also been left behind, probably to reduce the number of star carriers required to haul the thing away.
Joe, I now understand why the outsider didn't bother to leave stealth mines at this site, and you won't like hearing the reason. Hit me with it anyway. I can tell from residual radiation signatures on the central processor that only 1 star carrier hauled the entire array to wherever it has gone.
A single star carrier moved all this stuff? Or did it mash all the antennas together and wrap them in the galaxy's largest roll of duct tape?
No, although I think we can all agree it would have been awesome to see that. That single star carrier made 17 trips here to haul away the antennas.
Whoa. Shit. How? Well, okay, that makes sense. At Calabaric, it had to move fast, since the spiders would notice the array had stopped transmitting. Here, nobody was minding the store. So it took, what, a couple of weeks? Based on the decay of the residual radiation, I have a fairly precise timeline. The removal operation took 304 days. 300 and... But... So this started before it tried to take control of the Dogzilla Sentinel?
That is correct. And that is not even the bad news that is making me sick right now. Joe, the array here was taken away 7 years ago.
Chapter 34. We jumped away after Skippy dropped the bombshell on us. We didn't just perform a random jump. We were racing back to the nearest wormhole where Skippy would create a shortcut to bring us back into civilized space. I should say habitable space. What I meant is the center of the Milky Way was flooded with deadly radiation, and the former location of the Tershapan array was uncomfortably close to the center. 7 years. I had a cup of coffee in my hand, but I wasn't drinking it.
Reed and Frey weren't drinking their coffees either. We were all too shocked to do anything so normal as drinking a hot beverage.
Skippy?
I was surprised he wasn't waiting for us when we walked into my office. His avatar appeared, the hat already in one hand, the other hand rubbing his head while he pondered the issue.
It means the outsider has been active for much longer than we knew. Beyond that, I hope you can tell me what it means, because I got nothing.
Okay,
I don't know how we can figure out what it means. He jammed the oversized hat back on his head. We don't actually know anything.
That's not exactly true. Let's start with what we do know. Frey?
Instead of leading the discussion, I tossed the ball to my star team leader. She and Reed might have a better take on the situation than I did, and I kept in mind that I had a responsibility to develop my leadership team. If something bad happened to me, and considering some of the dumb shit I've done, it's likely that something bad will happen, the Merry Band of Pirates would need a new chief pirate. Or I guess a pirate leader is technically a captain. Whatever. Besides, I was interested in how Frey and Reed thought. Could they reach the same conclusions I did, or something better? For a split second, Frey's expression was that of an elementary school student who had just been called upon by the teacher.
What we know, she bit her lip. The outsider took this array 7 years ago. Skippy, can we assume it intended to use this array for the same purpose as the Calabaric one? To receive the transmission from the outhouse that can beam matter between galaxies?
I mean, he shrugged. I can't think of any other reason it would want to steal the damned thing. It's not like it could unload the array at a pawn shop. Frey's expression brightened.
Then we know it has not been able over the past 7 years to make the Tershipan array work the way it wants. We know that because there hasn't been an invasion.
Good, I nodded. And?
Before it took the Calabaric array, it first tried several times to acquire a sentinel. Skippy wasn't yet aware that the Tershipan array was missing, but the outsider knew that everyone would be alerted when the newer array stopped transmitting. It wanted a sentinel for protection because it feared Skippy could stop it from setting up the Calabaric array, or modifying it, or operating it.
Yes, good.
But, Skippy protested, it still doesn't have a sentinel, and it has taken the Calabaric array.
Yeah, so I leaned my chair back. Here's where we stop talking about facts and start speculating about what it all means.
Reed? She let out a long breath. Before speaking, she looked at her coffee cup, frowned, poured cream into it, stirred it, and sipped. She didn't want coffee. She wanted time to think. That was okay. What I cared about was quality analysis, not speed.
It either no longer needs a sentinel, or it just is no longer able to wait. Bombing Jaguar Star hasn't stopped us from chasing it, and we kicked its ass in the quarantine zone, so it has to still be afraid of Skippy. That leaves urgency. It has to move now for whatever reason.
Frey nodded.
Perhaps it learned something from the failure of the Tershipan array. The signal between galaxies could be degrading over time, or, she tapped her chin, something else has changed. Twice it escaped from starships we attacked. Could the outsider itself be damaged? It's made of energy, so it could be fading. Losing power, losing coherence.
Wow, Skippy was impressed. That's the first happy news I've heard in a long time. How do you monkeys do this? You start with the same zero information I have, but somehow you make sense of it. This drives me freaking crazy.
It's not zero, I explained. We take into account not only what the outsider has done, but what it could have done and didn't. It didn't take the Calabaric array until now. The question is, why?
We have two solid guesses. Some external force requires it to move now, even though it hasn't eliminated you as a threat, or internal damage is making it move now while it still can.
Reed had a look like she heard what I said, but she was thinking about something else.
We could be the external force, the reason it has to move now. It's on a timer, and the deadline for it to act freely is approaching fast.
Huh?
Pup-Tart has to remain at Jaguar for another 5 months, roughly, before it can turn off the blanket, and
the blanket won't be turned off like flipping a switch, Skippy snorted. Yes, whatever, I interrupted him before Reed lost her train of thought. Shut up for a minute.
Reed, go ahead.
She paused for a beat to see if Skippy protested. He fumed silently at me. The key was he kept silent.
Once the blanket is no longer active, she chose a neutral term, Pop-Tart could leave Jaguar. Not immediately. We would need to pull at least the civilians off the surface like you suggested, sir. The point is, Pop-Tart won't be stuck guarding our forward operating base forever. It could come with us, either to hunt for the outsider or to destroy the Calabaric Array, if by that time the Array has been detected. Whatever the outsider is doing, it knows it has a limited time window while our sentinels are tied down.
That, I considered for a moment. Makes sense.
Yes, Skippy, what do you think?
Why are you asking me?
Yeah, it makes sense now that I think about it. So the outsider believes it can get the Array fully converted into an energy-to-matter receiver before Pup-Tart can deactivate the blanket?
That's the theory, Reed said with a nod.
Okay. Okay, Skippy said slowly. We have to assume it knows the governor chose the Goldilocks option for the blanket and the Security Council confirmed that timeline. I tapped the desk while I stared at the ceiling.
True. True, so we might need to accelerate the schedule.
Joe, Skippy rolled his eyes, exasperated with me. We don't know that will make any difference for us, and the damage to Jaguar's biosphere could be severe.
It has to make a difference. The outsider is counting on us holding to the Goldilocks schedule. If we cut that short, it might not make any difference, he insisted.
The enemy is smart enough to pad its schedule. Duh. It won't wait until the last moment.
Unless it has no choice, Frey spoke. Unless it learned everything it needed from the original Array, it might have to experiment with the Calabaric equipment to make it work in a way it wasn't designed to.
I definitely can't imagine how that equipment could be converted into an energy-to-matter receiver, Skippy muttered. From what I know of the subject, that Array lacks some very basic components for the job.
Is that it? We are assuming Pop-Tart's schedule is the reason the Calabaric Array was taken now?
Or that the outsider is damaged, Reed reminded him of what we had discussed.
Yes, I know that. He was on the verge of adding a duh, but because he was speaking to Reed, he didn't do that.
What I meant is when the pirates are fumbling toward figuring out a puzzle, usually you explore every possibility no matter how stupid.
I had to admit he had a point.
That's fair. What other external factors could have forced it to act now?
Nuh-uh, he shook his head. This guessing game is a monkey thing.
Okay, Is there any indication the background carrier wave, whatever signal between galaxies, is decreasing in strength?
Without an Array, I have no way of detecting that signal, dum-dum.
Right. I don't suppose you could build some kind of an intergalactic antenna.
O-M-G, dude, he gasped.
You want me to make the thing that should never, ever be built?
Okay, it just sounds stupid the way you said it. The way I said it is the problem, gotcha.
Think, numbskull, think! If I built such a thing, the outsider could swoop in, take it, and send us a nice thank you card.
All I meant is could you build the original thing the Elders had when they first discovered the quantum carrier wave in the first place?
No. First, it took the Elders many years and enormous effort to construct such a machine. Second, my programming will not allow me to even think about doing anything so enormously, mind-bogglingly stupid.
Okay, but this is like the meme about the Torment Nexus and you're the douchebag who doesn't get it.
Frey raised an eyebrow.
Torment Nexus?
I see you need remedial education on classic memes, I grinned. The joke is someone wrote a sci-fi book called Don't Create the Torment Nexus as a cautionary tale about a dangerous technology. Then some idiot tech company announces that the book inspired them to create a Torment Nexus. She grimaced.
I prefer the classic meme about the woman with a hot guy and she turns around to check out another hot guy.
That meme is about a guy who, you have your version, I have mine.
Okay.
Skippy, I hear you. Next question. Is there any indication the outsider is damaged?
I would be surprised if it wasn't, but I have no evidence that it is.
Let me think on that for a while. Review the sensor data I have.
So is that it? The outsider stole the Calabaric Array now when it couldn't wait any longer for whatever reason?
Reed nodded. Frey did the same, and I slowly pronounced,
We are out of time. We need that spinner ASAP.
The four of us fell silent for a moment, all having the same thought. Omahara Khan was an impossible target even for the merry band of pirates.
Frey, you're right.
Frey raised an eyebrow.
Reed gave me a questioning look, so I added, Frey suggested that if I want to know how to hit a heavily defended Maxolt's world, I should ask the spiders. The Rindaloo must have war plans for every scenario. Skippy, where should we go to have a discussion with spiders who can provide advice and possibly some material assistance? First, if you are asking them for a favor, you shouldn't refer to them as spiders. I'll be sure to review that section of the Joe Bishop Diplomacy Manual. Do not do that, dum-dum. You know what I mean. Someplace with Rindaloo military officers senior enough to be familiar with war plans and influential enough that their government will listen to them. Yes, please. But, also not any place with military assets substantial enough they would pose a threat to Valkyrie and risk me being captured. That would be ideal, yes. Ideal? He snatched off his hat, outraged. You are willing to risk me being captured by the spiders? I figure they'd get sick of you real quick and throw you back. What? You jerk! I should... Reed interrupted.
Do you have a list of potential sites?
Yes, but maybe now I don't feel like sharing it with... Frey snorted.
Some days I don't feel like rolling out of bed at 0445, but I do it anyway. The military doesn't care whether you feel like doing something.
Yeah, I hear you, Skippy grumbled. Joe, I sent a list to your phone. There is no need to change course at this point. We have to go through the wormhole ahead.
Good. Thank you. Something bothering you, sir?
Reed asked. Yeah. I pushed my chair away from the desk, opened a drawer, and got a handful of chocolates, tossing one to each of the colonels in my office. We now know the outsider has been here at least 7 years. We still don't know when it got here or how. The important question is how. The outhouse somehow sent a sort of scout to recon and prepare the way for an invasion, but they couldn't use the same method to send a more substantial force?
The bandwidth was limited? Frey guessed.
Sir, what concerns me is one outsider was able to get here undetected. If they can do that, we might kill this outsider and have to do this shit all over again in a few years.
Suddenly I wasn't hungry for chocolate, dropping them in the drawer and nudging it closed. On that happy note, I have a list to review.
Admiral?
Commander Flovior hesitantly stuck his head in the open door of the office Garandum was using at the moment. For the first 3 days, the famous Admiral was aboard the ECO cruiser We Shall Not Speak of It. Garandum had used the VIP office compartment on the starboard side of the ship. That morning, after the ship pinged a relay station for an update, and the Admiral learned several of his wagers had ended badly, he had declared the starboard office was cursed. So, Flovior had been thrown out of his own portside office so the Admiral could change his luck.
Do you wish to, transmit messages before we jump away from this station?
Ah, Flovior, come in, sit down. Your actual question was whether I wished to take this opportunity to place any wagers at this time?
Well, sir...
The commander frowned as he saw the mess that his former office had become in less than a day. He also saw that the half-consumed bottle of Bergoge he had left in a desk drawer was now empty and on the deck in a corner.
We shall not be within range of another trusted relay station for the next 3 days, so please have your fine ship remain here a while, Commander. I need to ponder the impact of some interesting news I recently received.
Sit, please, sit. He waved to a couch. It seems my luck has changed, and for the better this time. As I suspected, that starboard side office you assigned to me has bad juju. I suggest you be careful about wagering while you have that office. Really, it would be best if you sealed that compartment and used a storage locker for your office.
Yes, sir, Flovior muttered, thinking to himself that the Admiral's recent losses might be caused by poor judgment from excessive drinking, rather than by any mysterious juju aboard the ship.
Your luck has changed? It seems that is the case. Scarandum tapped a claw at his table. I just received a classified message, which will soon become public knowledge. The Maxolks have reportedly taken out a contract for my untimely demise.
No.
Flovior made the expected gasp of shock, while in his head, actually wondering why the Maxolks had taken so long.
This is good news?
Of course. Think on it, Commander. I now have a unique opportunity for juicy wagering. Will I live another week,
A month, a year, perhaps longer. I shall wager on my survival, and I can't lose. If I perish, I will never know I have lost. Flovior's head bobbed slowly. That is a unique opportunity, sir. Surely our government will do all they can to protect you. According to this message, our own Ethics and Compliance Office has been offered a contract, apparently with quite generous payment terms. So far, my superiors are more interested in the wagering action than in the contract money, which, of course, the clumsy Maxaltz could never have understood. For now, I am safe. Relatively. However, I do request you change your flight plan to take a different route to our next stop. We are in no hurry to get there. I am seeking only background information. Nothing urgent.
Certainly, sir.
Flovior was running calculations in his head about how much he could afford to wager on the Admiral's survival. Or demise.
So you do wish to place a wager?
I do. Also, it occurs to me that I should send a personal note to a former protege of mine. He would find this news to be interesting. Scarandum's antennas twitched with mirth. Kinsta would actually find the news to be shocking, but that would amuse Scarandum. It was important to find joy in life wherever you could, especially when that life might be unexpectedly brief. Dave's phone pinged. He transferred the audio to his earpiece. The aircraft he was flying in, a Ruhar transport that his company had to pay for by the hour, had rotor blades that were loud enough to rattle his teeth. For the outrageous amount of money he was paying, he expected a smooth, quiet ride. Maybe the comfortable fake leather seats the Ruhar used in their VIP aircraft. Next time he wanted all that and a fully stocked bar. David Chaika, he announced with a hand pressed to the other ear because caller was unknown.
Mr. Chaika?
It was a familiar, just slightly squeaky voice.
Nert,
he exclaimed, genuinely pleased. Call me Dave, please.
Okay.
The Ruhar special operator sounded hesitant.
I have a bit of a situation, and I need your help. I would appreciate your help, he added.
He tapped his phone to mute it.
Dandurf wants our help,
he shouted to Jates, seated opposite him in the cramped cabin. I do not have any pressing engagements at the moment, the Verd grunted.
Adding you to the call.
Dave tapped the phone again.
What's going on, Nerdy?
He cringed as he used the nickname. That was being too familiar. Nert didn't seem to notice.
This is something you should see for yourself.
Okay. Where are you?
In the Dark Forest.
The where?
The area where the locals made a half-assed effort to plant black trees.
The hunting preserve for Grickas? What are you doing there?
It wasn't my idea.
He checked the map on his phone. 7 minutes away. Is there a safe LZ nearby?
Look for my team's aircraft. We got called in to deal with a mess, and this isn't a bang-bang shooting situation, so my team could use help. Someone who knows how to de-escalate, if you know what I mean?
Dave stared at Jates. The Verd knew what he was thinking. With a grin, Jates said, I am a renowned expert at de-escalating conflicts. Dave snorted.
Your solution to everything is punching and shooting.
Yes, and after the punching and shooting, the conflict always de-escalates.
When we get there, I will do the talking.
Jates folded his arms across his chest and nodded. We make a good team. You talk, I will punch or shoot.
That... Just don't do or say anything.
Nert, we'll be there ASAP. Huh. Dave lifted his helmet faceplate. In Gricka territory, he had followed protocol and sealed up his suit.
I see why you wanted me to see this. How the hell did he get into this mess?
Nert sighed with a shake of his head.
We got called in after he was stuck in the tree?
I can get him down with... Jates unslung his rifle. No! Dave barked, his face turning red. The TV show production team was peering out the windows of their heavy armored trucks, and Nert's special ops teams were lounging casually against the black trees, looking bored. No, they were amused, because that asshole TV director Pointed was stuck 8 meters up in a tree, clinging to a branch with all the might of his civilian mech suit. On the ground, a young Gricka paced, snarled, whining, twitching its tail, leaping up and biting the tree.
The jerk was in no actual danger. The juvenile Gricka was only a meter and a half long and skinny. Even a civilian model mech suit should provide excellent protection from the claws and jaws of the smallish beast. Plus, Nert's team had brought enough firepower to vaporize a full-size Gricka.
Start at the beginning, please.
Dave anticipated a long story.
What the production team told me is Pointed wanted to prove what a man of action he is, so for the final episode, he would walk through the dark forest. He was smart enough to scan the area. The only Gricka around now is the little one here. They are territorial, so it was a stupid but relatively safe idea. He took the proper precautions, including spraying the exterior of his suit with Gricka repellent. The animal would approach, would be threatening, but not attack.
Hey!
Pointed shouted, waving one hand, then returning to his death grip on the branch.
You, Chaika, get rid of this thing and get me down from here right now!
Dave cocked his head.
I'm sorry, but I have no authority here. I will pay you a lot of money.
There isn't that much money, the mercenary leader muttered. I don't know. I would pay a lot to see this, Jates grinned. No, what went wrong with the repellent? The Ruhar officer rolled his eyes.
Someone on the production team swapped it with a hormonal spray?
Oh, shit.
That Gricka is a young male, and it thinks Pointed is a female in heat.
Oh, this is a freaking mess that—
Hey!
The director shouted, frantically waving a hand. It was a bad career move. His swaying motion finally snapped the branch he clung to, and he plunged down to crash onto the Gricka's back. Pointed bounced, the Gricka rolled away, the director scrambled to his feet, and the Gricka was on him in a flash.
Get this thing off of me!
Pointed screamed as the beast's teeth slipped on the armor of his shoulders and its legs pinned him as it thumped him into the ground. Jates half-heartedly raised his rifle. Dave pushed the muzzle down.
Don't! You might shoot Pointed by mistake.
Mistake? Jates grinned. Yes, let's go with that.
You know,
Nert tried to keep his expression serious and failed.
Grickas on this world are an endangered species. They are protected by law.
It would be a shame to kill such a magnificent beast, Dave agreed.
Get it off, Pointed stuttered as the Gricka bounced him around the forest floor.
This looks like true love to me, Jates slung his rifle. I think he likes you, he called to the director.
Seriously, though, Dave lowered his voice. Should we be doing something here?
The beast is in a mating frenzy, Jates noted. It could be dangerous to interrupt it.
Then we should
best to let it finish. I read they calm right down and go to sleep, usually.
We should wait until we hear it snoring,
Nert agreed.
Hi. Hey.
He waved to the production crew.
Is anyone getting this on video?
Every person in the two trucks pointed to their cameras.
Is anyone not getting this on video?
The assistant director laughed. Back in the tilt-rotor aircraft, Dave shook his head as he strapped in.
That is not what I expected to be doing this afternoon.
I am disappointed that you stopped the fun. Dave shrugged. After a minute of Pointed being bounced around the ground by the amorous Gricka, he had used his own rifle to stun the beast. He could not, he had decided, allow Pointed's head to be bashed against a tree. Even in a helmet, the jerk could have gotten a concussion. Mostly, Dave acted to avoid an expensive lawsuit.
You can relive it forever on video.
That is true, Jates grinned. He was grinning a lot that day, a nice change from the usual angry glare.
A nice way to break up the boredom of this deployment. When are we dusting off this rock? The mission was complete 2 weeks ago.
M thinks DEFCOM likes us being out here where we're not potentially causing trouble.
If it helps, I can create some trouble to get us thrown off of Fustria.
I'll let you know when we get to that point. Really, I don't expect us to be here much longer. Sustaining a deployment is expensive. Some bean counters back on Earth will be doing a cost-benefit analysis and decide we should go elsewhere.
Back to Earth?
Nah, there's no need for us there. Bishop has the merry band of pirates stood up again. I know for certain he's out there looking for trouble. When he finds it, I expect us to get the call to do something.
Jates was unconvinced. What can we do against the Outsider?
Nothing, but we could raise hell with the Outsider's allies, the fucking Maxolks.
The grin Jates flashed that time was feral. I would very much like to fight a Maxolks one-on-one, no weapons. I would wring its miserable neck.
Yeah, well,
Dave had to shout over the engine starting.
Be careful what you wish for, you might get it.
We knew from the UN negotiating team that the Rindaloo were at least willing to discuss joint operations to act against the Outsider, and it was encouraging they didn't consider such a discussion to be premature. That was the good news. The bad news was the Spiders were who they were. Let's just say I wasn't getting my hopes up about the Rindaloo doing anything other than talk. If 7 years ago they had discovered the Outsider just stole the deactivated Terschapan array, the Spiders might now still be debating whether to study the issue. Okay, that judgment is a bit harsh, and I have to admit that although the communal gathering's historical tendency to avoid being hasty is frustrating, that strategy has worked well for them. All they've wanted is to maintain the balance of power in the galaxy. They understand there is a limit to how far they can push the Maxolks. The endless war has dragged on forever, with each coalition capturing and losing small bits of territory, and the overall strategic situation remaining stable. The only time the Spiders were roused to take major action is after a wormhole shift that threatened to give the Maxolks a major advantage. When that happened, the Rotten Kitties got all excited to strike a decisive blow against their ancient enemy, until they realized they can only push the Rindaloo so far without disastrous consequences for both sides. Stability is so important, so valuable to both sides, that after the wormhole shifts that significantly hurt the Maxolks, the Rindaloo have sometimes unilaterally given up territory to maintain the balance of power. Was I getting my hopes up anyway, that the Spiders would help us with cracking the defenses at Omaha? Yes, I was. Hans Chotek had sent a private message to me, stating that the Rindaloo were unusually agitated during the negotiations, pressing for details on what the Merry Band of Pirates were doing about the Outsider. There was no question that the Spiders expected humanity to handle the threat. They also didn't blame us for the mess. Instead, they blamed the Elders for running away rather than dealing with the problem. Hans, of course, couldn't provide details on my plans since, you know, I didn't actually have a plan back then. His note stated the Spiders recognized this situation was different, that something had to be done, and sooner rather than later. They weren't making a blanket pledge of unconditional support. Basically, they wanted us to show them a workable plan and they would consider it. I read that note from Hans 3 weeks ago and had filed it in my brain as interesting but not immediately useful. Now we finally had a plan to take direct, decisive action against the Outsider. It was time to test whether the Spiders were serious about working with us. The best place for me to ask a favor from the Rindaloo was a retirement colony. Seriously. It was a colony world that had been terraformed and set aside for old ones who were truly old, even by Spider standards, done with a long life of military or government service. They spend their days doing water aerobics, playing golf, then enjoying a cocktail while contemplating the meaning of life until it is time for the early bird dinner special. I'm joking. I have no idea what the old ones do all day. The relatively young old ones I have met don't do a whole lot, to the frustration of their active and impatient foundlings. Should I have tried to meet with a foundling who might stay awake long enough to have a meaningful conversation? No. Although a young Rindaloo might have information about war plans, no one in the government of the communal gathering would take seriously anything they said. My hope was for not just some hints, but actual useful help. Weapons. Warships. Like that was ever going to happen. So, Valkyrie jumped in 10 light minutes from the planet Boca Laudadon to see what was there. Two cruisers were in orbit, along with a transport ship. The planet had a population of 600 million, which ordinarily would generate enough commerce to justify constructing a space elevator. Boca had no elevator, for the world didn't export much, and when new arrivals flew down, they generally didn't leave the surface. Bilby, I asked, what are those cruisers doing?
Not much, dude. They're on a courtesy visit paying respects to the retired officers down there, especially to Jasta Gellion. She ran their strategic planning office until about 2 years ago.
Strategic planning? She was a senior general?
No, dude, Bilby chuckled. The spiders believe strategy is about what their society should do, and those decisions should be made by civilian leadership. Once a decision is made, how to implement a strategy is a tactical problem for their military. Of course, usually what the Rindaloo decide to do is nothing. Yeah, that's the problem. So I shouldn't talk to this Jastigellian.
Actually, Joe, Skippy held up an index finger, she's exactly who you should talk with. Minister Jastigellian not only led her office to the decision to destroy the Maxalt's Doomsday Fleet, she also was instrumental in persuading the government to move quickly. At the time, her haste was considered unseemly and caused a minor scandal. There was some talk about whether she was appropriate for such an important senior position. That talk pretty much went away after the full scope of what the Maxalts were doing was discovered.
You think she'll agree to talk with me?
Joe, it was her initiative to build a virtual Joe Bishop, attempting to model your thought processes using powerful AIs. The goal was to predict your future actions. Unfortunately for them, they were no more successful in creating a useful predictive model than the Maxalts were in their own effort. The problem is, you don't have a thought process. You just dug your way to finding a solution, which really hardly ever solves a problem. Most of the time, you just suggest that I do some incredibly awesome thing, and half the time, that only leads to an even bigger problem.
I can't be replaced by an AI. That's good for my job security. Got it. Thanks.
That is not what I said, you...
Bilby? Skippy, do either of you see any reason we should not proceed?
It's all goodness, dude, Bilby drawled.
Whatevs, Skippy sighed. Like I care.
While safely beyond range of the star system's sensor network, Valkyrie slowed down to match course and speed with Boca Laudadon. Then we jumped in 30 light seconds from the planet. Supposedly, the recent upgrades reduced the gamma radiation from our jump drive by 17%. That only mattered if Skippy wasn't aboard the ship to perform his own magic. When the sensors recovered from jump distortion and we verified the situation was as we expected, Reed ordered a drone containing one end of a micro wormhole to be launched. The drone accelerated smoothly, not with the hellish G-force that would be employed in a combat environment. When the drone was within 10 light seconds of the Strategic Defense Network's effective sensor range, it decelerated and coasted inward, maneuvering until it was in a stable and low orbit, almost skimming the top of the atmosphere. The local SD network had not detected the stealth drone, and the probability of detection decreased every second as Skippy gently hacked into the network.
All right, that's enough, he declared.
He had warned me that hacking even the low-grade network at the retirement colony would be a time-consuming and tricky task, so I was a bit confused when he had it done so quickly.
You have control of the network?
No, the sensors will ignore the drone. That's all we need here. Anything more would be showing off.
But you, my stupid brain was about to say, you love showing off. My mouth caught me before I could insult him.
Did it so fast anyway.
What can I say? I'm awesome.
Connect me with Jastigellian, please.
Wait, this call will be over the secure Skippytel network, right?
Of course it will, numbskull. You had better talk fast. She is getting ready to go surfing.
Surfing?
I shared a look with Reed, who held up her hands in a who-knew gesture. My brain tried to picture a Rindaloo's multiple legs perched on a surfboard, and I got nothing.
I thought you would be more like playing canasta.
Do you even know what canasta is?
Yeah, it's a card game my grandmother plays. It's an old people thing.
It might be an old monkey thing, he sniffed. Jastigellian has a 2,000-watt electric surfboard, and a storm down there has kicked up some tasty waves, so I suggest you get on with it.
Right.
Releasing the straps, I got up from the chair and walked over to stand close to the virtual microphone of the main holographic display.
Hello, this is General Joe Bishop of the United Nations Defense Command. Do you have a moment to speak with me?
The reply was not what I expected. There was a high-pitched eek, then the sound of a phone bouncing off and sliding across a floor.
I didn't know what else to say.
Hello? If I interrupted something, I can call back.
There was a muffled, no,
and sounds like dry claws scraping on a hard surface. Hearing that sent an instinctive shiver up my spine. It was good that the call was audio only.
Bishop?
The voices of female Rindaloo were just as raspy as their males, just a bit higher in pitch. Part of that was an effect added by the translator software.
The Joe Bishop?
There must be a lot of guys on Earth with that name. I know I was named for some actor and singer guy who hung out with Frank Sinatra. That Joey Bishop was before my time. He had been a favorite of my great-grandfather, or so I have been told. I am Joe Bishop of the Merry Band of Pirates, I confirmed. A raspy laugh.
I assume this is not a social call?
No, although I hear the waves are great for surfing now, so if you prefer, we can talk later.
The surf report is enticing, but I am a bit tired of chasing waves. At my age, I have become a bit tired of everything, except when I am offered something new, such as an opportunity to speak with you. Tell me, please, is Skippy as horrible an asshole as I have heard? I hope that word translated correctly.
Oh, it translated just fine, and yes, he is an asshole. Hey, the beer can protested. You jerk. I should, fortunately for him, I added. His awesomeness exceeds his assholishness. That might not have translated well.
I understood perfectly. Thank you. You startled me. My phone has not experienced an unscheduled call in a very long time.
Sorry about that. I should have texted you first.
The translator might be confused. What is texting?
A primitive form of communication used by my people. Minister Jastigelian, do you have time to discuss a subject that is vital to my people and yours?
The outsider?
Yes.
This call is secure on my end. I am alone in my residence. And I notice my phone is not actually connected to the local network.
We are connected via the ultra-secure SkippyTel system.
Are you free to speak now?
Reed caught my eye with a shake of her head. Give me a moment to get to my office, okay? I sprinted down the passageway, stupidly not thinking of borrowing Reed's office that was closer to the bridge. It took me only an extra 15 seconds to reach my office. Skippy had the door sliding shut beside me as I sat in the chair. All the time I spent running or riding an exercise bike in the gym paid off. My breathing quickly returned to normal and I was able to resume the conversation, which didn't go as I expected. Getting straight to the point would be hasty, and despite my instinct to get on with it, we spent some time reviewing recent events. For someone who is retired, she was very well informed.
I frequently consult with my successor in the ministry, and with other officials in the government, she explained. My position is referred to as Minister Emeritus, if you understood the translation.
I did, thank you. My alter ego as no patience man was screaming at me to get to the point. I told him to shut the hell up. A few minutes of chit-chat to establish a rapport with her was a good investment. I would be asking her for a major favor. We talked about our families, and she was unhappy with Skippy because a cousin had gotten involved in Skipway and lost most of her life savings. Then she started telling me a story about how she had gotten into surfing after a hang gliding accident injured one of her legs. That was... Wait a minute. Minister, are you stalling for time? There was a beat before she answered. That silence was an answer. Before I could say something unhelpful, she sighed, another raspy sound.
I have been waiting for the orbital sensor network to announce an intruder alert.
That won't happen. Valkyrie is not in orbit. That was not exactly true. It was close enough.
That answers my question. We are speaking without a noticeable time lag, so you must have inserted an Elder Communications node into orbit, probably in a stealthed vehicle.
No Elder Comm node this time.
That is a pity. We have been observing your Navy's use of that marvelous technology with great enviousness. Faster-than-light communication is a major tactical advantage.
It absolutely is.
Perhaps if we are to work together, several of those devices could be provided to us?
You have Elder Comm nodes.
They don't function.
That's because the magnificence of Skippy is required to activate them. Minister, I did not come here to negotiate an exchange. We are not bargaining about what each of our peoples should get in a deal. I'm here to discuss working together for mutual benefit. The outsider is as much a threat to the communal gathering as it is to humanity. If you can't see that, then I should find somewhere else to have this discussion. She laughed, a dry sound that made my hair stand up. Something deep in my brain shouted, "Danger! Spiders are creepy!"
General Bishop, I believe it is time to cut the bullshit. Your ambassadors surely have informed you that we are committed to participating in the fight against the outsider. It is, as you said, a mutual threat, a threat to our existence. If you want our assistance to take direct action against the outsider, your ambassador or military liaison would have approached us with an official proposal. Since you are using a back channel, I must assume you want us to provide resources without revealing what those resources will be used for.
Material assistance would be greatly appreciated, but what I need at the moment is information. Advice.
I understand you are concerned about operational security. However, it will not be possible to provide advice if I don't know what you plan to do.
Yeah, that's the problem. Without getting into specifics, we need to conduct a raid against a Maxalt's regional fleet base.
A raid? Not just an orbital attack?
That is correct. A raid involving a landing with a substantial number of troops on the ground for a short time.
That is ambitious.
You can see why I need advice.
You will need more than information, unless you intend to bring a sentinel with you.
We believe we can't wait for a sentinel to be available. The outsider has openly made a move, and the clock is ticking. She gasped, understanding instantly.
The Calabaric Array. It was taken recently.
Yes, we believe it intends to modify that array to receive a signal from another galaxy, a signal that will open a doorway for invasion. By the way, the outsider stole your deactivated Tershapan array around 7 years ago.
Tershapan? I'm not familiar with the name.
It was before your time. The Calabaric system replaced the Tershapan array, so the older unit was shut down. We checked and discovered that first array was hauled away by a star carrier around 7 years ago. Apparently, the outsider wasn't able to modify that older system to meet its needs. Or it also needs the Calabaric equipment. Either way, its theft of the Tershapan array was done without anyone realizing it happened. Your people did notice that Calabaric stopped transmitting. The outsider no longer cares that we know what it's planning.
A raid with boots on the ground is infinitely more complicated than an orbital bombardment. You can't tell me which regional fleet base is the target?
No, but the target's defenses are typical for such a world. Our biggest obstacle is the strategic defense network, especially the disruption field that will prevent us from jumping ships in close enough. To jump in far away and fly through normal space is suicide. Our ships would be exposed to enemy fire far too long. I thought your war plans people must have studied the issue.
Our war plans AIs have studied the issue, she explained. Such a complex problem is beyond the capabilities of biological systems. General, you are asking a question about tactics. My experience is in strategic planning.
True, but you must have been aware of your military's capabilities. There is no point to proposing a strategy that can't be implemented. Can it be done? Knock back the orbital defenses enough that we could establish space supremacy in the environment? We can't risk bringing in assault carriers if the battle space is contested.
It can be done. It has been done.
In a simulation, I guessed.
In reality, the base where the Maxalts were constructing and equipping their Doomsday fleet was significantly more heavily defended than any of their fleet bases, and we cracked those defenses like an eggshell. It was not easy, she warned. The operation required a major investment in specialized ships and expending a significant percentage of our ordnance. It took 11 months to replenish the missiles we burned in that operation. General, am I correct in assuming a raid is necessary to obtain a physical object that can be used against the outsider?
That's a good guess.
Interesting. Neither the Maxalts nor their new ally, the outsider, are aware this object exists?
The Maxalts know they have it. They don't understand what it can be used for.
There is no alternative to obtaining this object?
None that we know of, and we do know we are running out of time.
Young species always believe there is no time.
Ah, not this shit again, I thought to myself. What could I say to persuade her that her people couldn't do their usual thing of setting up a committee to appoint a commission to study the problem? Be tactful, I reminded myself. Think about Hans Chotek's style of diplomacy, not my preferred kinetic diplomacy. Shit.
Maybe I should have stopped at Earth to pick up Hans so I didn't ruin our opportunity by...
In this case, I must reluctantly agree that time is a critical factor,
she added before I could open my mouth.
It is alarming that after concealing its intentions, the outsider is now bold enough to act openly.
Bold or desperate enough. We've been speculating about why the outsider chose to take the active array now. One possibility is that the Sentinel at our forward operating base will be free to accompany us within several months. If we are correct about that, then the outsider is on a deadline and was forced to act.
I believe that would be a strong motivating factor.
It was interesting to me that we both had used the word believe several times. Were we unconsciously mirroring each other to establish a rapport? Did spider psychology even work that way, or was the translator software trying to help? I made a mental note to ask Skippy about that later. Can you, I should ask, will you provide information about how we can crack the SD network defenses at a regional fleet base?
We can, and we will.
That sounded too good to be true. Also way too fast to be true. You mean you're willing to bring my request to your government?
I mean a decision has been made to provide support to your efforts. It surprises me that since you seem to know so much, you have not heard that I have been recalled to run the Ministry of Strategic Planning again.
I did not know that. Had Skippy set me up, that asshole was probably having a good laugh right then. Oh, congratulations?
Condolences might be more appropriate. My retirement was based on the assumption that the adventures of the Merry Band of Pirates were over some years ago, and we could fall back to a steady-state strategic environment. An environment with three major powers, but a stable situation. Clearly that is no longer true.
You won't miss surfing?
My surfboard will still be here after the outsider has been banished from this galaxy. General Bishop, I am scheduled to depart this world in 11 days to return to our central world.
The Rindaloo did not refer to their seat of government as their homeworld, because it wasn't the planet where they evolved.
The routine is complicated. However, I understand that Skippy can create shortcuts between wormholes.
One minute, please. Tapping my phone's mute button, I called him. Skippy, how long from here to their central world? With a wormhole shortcut? We could be there within 19 hours of jumping away from this rock. 19 hours? You are aware that I am awesome. I am, but that is still incredibly fast for... Do you know why Boca Laudadon was selected to be a retirement world? It has a nice climate that encourages retirees to get outside to play shuffleboard? Well, that also. This star system is located at the dead end of a wormhole route that is not convenient for any purpose other than getting here. To reach Boca, ships must transit through four wormholes that are in the middle of nowhere, so travel here is time-consuming and expensive. Basically, even though it is deep inside Rindaloo territory, no one wanted this planet until a development company proposed to build a luxury retirement retreat. Did they consider calling it Sunny Acres? Among many other stupid names, yes. So, getting to or from here is a long trip unless a shortcut is created. A shortcut from here to there isn't just a theoretical thing. The local network doesn't hate you? Ah, it doesn't hate me yet. But I have learned that all wormhole network controllers are dicks, so it's just a matter of time. Thank you. Plot a course, please. Unmuting my phone, I gave the minister the good or bad news. Travel time from here will be 19 hours. She gasped.
How is that possible?
You might not have heard this, but Skippy is kind of awesome.
I've heard many things about Skippy. General, I can be ready to leave in 6 hours, if that is convenient for you.
That is how the Merry Band of Pirates became a long-haul taxi service for the communal gathering's previous and future Minister of Strategic Planning. I had a moment of panic when she casually announced her entourage would consist of 9 spiders, including a security team of 4 soldiers, a personal aide, a chief of staff, and a senior analyst. The other 2 weren't listed. I was guessing hairstylist and dog walker. No, the Rindaloo do have scaly hairs around their bodies, but nothing long enough to style, and as far as I know, they don't have pets. The notion of spider soldiers with guns aboard Valkyrie was a non-starter, and that was only one problem for us to deal with. We didn't have sleeping, dining, or bathroom facilities that would accommodate Rindaloo physiology. They slept in sort of hammocks or slings,
and we could have fabricated something. It would have been awkward. Then there is the smell. Rindaloo have an obnoxious scent they can consciously control to a limited extent. They have glands that can turn up the scent from a merely unpleasant somebody open a window to a gag-inducing I am gonna hurl until my eyeballs explode. In meetings with the spiders, our ambassadors wear transparent bubble helmets that provide filtered air. Hans had told me he originally thought he could power through the stink if the spiders relaxed their glands, but a room full of Rindaloo is so distracting he couldn't focus. The spiders think humans smell awful, so it's not a one-sided problem. Anyway, Minister Jastigelian solved my problem by announcing she had requisitioned the pair of cruisers in orbit. Apparently, she had never considered coming aboard Valkyrie. Duh. I should have asked her about that before I got myself and Reed spun up about a problem we didn't need to deal with. Whatever level of authority she had, it was sufficient that the lead cruiser contacted us to request coordinates less than 5.5 hours later. We gave them a rendezvous time and place that might have been confusing. That location was not on the nearby wormhole's regular schedule of emergence points. By the time the cruisers arrived, Skippy had already created the shortcut, and Valkyrie was wrapped in a stealth field.
"We're good," Bilby announced. "Just the two cruisers are here. Everything is copacetic."
"It's your call," I said to Reed, since Valkyrie was her ship. "Drop stealth," she ordered, and added, "Maintain shields. Pilot, if sensors detect any gamma radiation or a damping field, or those two ships even look at us in a hostile manner, jump us away."
"Jump on my initiative, I," the pilot acknowledged with a thumbs up.
The stealth field flickered out. Nobody shot at us. No other ships jumped on top of our stupid heads. The cruisers didn't even paint us with active sensors.